The following announcement has been paid for.
It's going to be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
The biggest match in pro wrestling history.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
This is better. Last word. I did music.
Woo! I'm on track!
As the biggest night in the history of this great organization.
Oh, that's right, folks. It's me. It's the THCDOGG back here for another heart racing episode of the WMW podcast. With me, as always, the ever delightful Mr. Izzy. Hi, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how's everybody doing today? Thank you, everybody, for such a wonderful response with the story time resin. Man, it's was such a blast to share that, create that, and really loving the response from the Juggalos. Whoop, whoop.
All right. The Juggalos are out in force, man, and I'm digging it. So before we get into the things today, and we got some really cool stuff to talk about today, just a couple things I need to say, because there seems to be some confusion about some things. And it's crazy. The first thing is crazy because it's only June. But folks, let me clarify something for you that you probably don't know. Drug dealers and people who buy drugs are not giving those drugs away to your children. All right? We don't like your children that much that we would give away our drugs.
I have no idea.
Because Halloween, you know, Halloween's coming. You know, I mean, 4 fucking months from now, but it's coming. And, you know, the stories are already starting.
Oh, that's I remember. Yeah, I remember back in the day. It wasn't too long back, man. They said that Lemonheads had LSD in them, and it took me damn near a month to get rid of Pucker Face. So you can't always believe what you hear.
Yeah. So, folks, nobody's. I assure you, fentanyl junkies are not giving away their fentanyl, and you know none of the people who use drugs are giving them away to your children. That's just not the case. So just you're going to hear the stories. We always hear the stories. I'm just going to get out ahead of it because I've already started seeing the stories 4 months before Halloween actually happens. So there's that. And one other thing I just want to touch on real quick, because there's some issues that could be a brewing, and I see that kind of see it on the horizon because I've already been down this road. I'm a publisher. That is my job. That's what I do. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. You know, I am who I am. I publish the best work that I find because that's my job as a publisher. If we don't agree on things politically, if we don't agree on things religiously, if we don't agree on it, doesn't matter to me. As long as you're not preaching hate, I have no time for. I have no tolerance. I have no patience for hate speech. But unless that's what you're up to, if you can write a good book, I'm more than willing to give it a chance, you know, so because there's shit stirring because of what's happening in LA and authors that I work with who are opinionated one way or the other about it. And that's the whole thing with me, though, is I am a true free speech advocate. I don't like necessarily what some of the people that I publish have to say. But if it's not hate speech outright, why shouldn't they have the right to say it?
You know, and the other thing I think that gets confused a lot of times is you don't have to respond. You know what I mean? It's there's enough going on. My response a lot of times isn't really needed, and I don't have to give my opinion on these things. And
I'm just here to get the best books in. You know, out there. That's my whole gig, man. You know, and that's.
I remember a great promo that Paul Elring said one time, and he said, "You were given 2 ears and 1 mouth, so you could listen twice as much as you speak." And You were also given a nose to breathe out of so you could keep your mouth shut.
Oh, man. Remember when it used to be that simple? But, you know, then...
Everybody makes things so fucking complicated and stuff.
Man. Well, the internet amplified everybody's voice, and not everybody should have had a voice in the first damn place, so...
Well, the thing of it is everybody now has a reality show. Yep. So they're trying to create their own reality through this. And the same regards, you know, how real is reality television? So
exactly. No, that's
if that's the role model that they're following, then
that's an excellent way to put that. Well said, sir. Everybody's got their own, everybody's trying to make their own reality show. That is well said. Well said. So in the news, is it yesterday or today? I think it was yesterday. Oh, no, it's this morning. There is a teacher in the Denver public school system who has been arrested for allegedly distributing marijuana lace brownies to her sixth grade class.
Okay.
Now, again, I think that this kind of comes back to what I started off with, in that we're not giving our drugs away to people. We like our drugs. We want to do them, you know. So the parents are saying that, you know, the accusation is that it's a civil lawsuit, which I also find very odd, because I would think that if someone dosed my child with drugs, that would be a criminal charge.
Yeah, I would think so. It's a very simple thing to come to the conclusion of, and all you have to do is have the kids pee in a cup.
Right. Yeah.
We all know anybody that consumes, it takes at least 30 days to leave the system, and as an edible, possibly even longer, because it's absorbed through your liver as opposed to through your lungs.
Well, I'll tell you about that, my man. And I don't know if anybody's ever had to use it, but there's a product out there, or at least there was. I don't know if it's still out there. There was a product on the market years ago called Ready Clean. Okay. And basically Ready Clean was a system flusher. Uh-huh. And here's why I will stand by that product until my dying day, is I went to a party. This was 25 years ago almost now. God, I'm getting old. I went to this party, a friend of mine's birthday one weekend, and we just fucking got lit. Like, I smoked more weed that day. And then, you know, and then I come back and I get a call on a job that I've been waiting to hear on. And they're like, oh yeah, we want you to come in. You know, we just need you to go take a urine test first. And I'm like, fuck. Because, you know, I mean, I smoked a ton of fucking weed that weekend. So I went to the local head shop and I bought myself a bottle of the Ready Clean and followed the directions and passed the test. No problem. So well done. I mean, and there was a lot of, you know, like, I bought an ounce with me to that party and we smoked most of it over the course of 2 days. Right. So, and there was only like three or four of us who smoked. So,
until the drug tests become like true and false or general knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't let strangers enter my home, let alone my body. So
sure.
And in all reality, if people united and stood together, this would have never happened.
Right.
Because you're giving away, completely giving away your privacy by allowing people access to your body in that manner.
I agree. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody talks about this chip and their worry of the chip, but if you're willingly inviting people into your body that way, what's your worry about? And I think a lot of times that, steer a little off of the subject for a second, but the idea of the implanted chip is a great distraction from the chip you've already got in your hand.
Well, you know, that's the thing that cracks me up.
And it tracks you. And I wonder if the implanted chip in your hand will actually have your nudes on it. So
maybe. Right? They well, that's the thing that kills me too, is those people are like, oh, you know, they're gonna plant those chips and they're gonna be able to track us. They'll know where we are all the time. They already do. What do you think this is? This is a leash that we willingly fucking wear.
So get in line. Fucking yeah. Begging for the newest one.
Yeah.
So you're worried about an implanted chip.
They've already got you, man.
The distraction worked. That's ladies and gentlemen, I call it three card Monty. And if you don't know what three card Monty is, it comes from the streets. And you think you're paying attention to what really matters. But this guy who's out on the street, he's not on the street because he loses money. He's out there because he's a master of deception, sleight of hand. And
oh yeah,
he's going to take your money every time. He's going to let you think you're winning for a minute. But in the end, same as Las Vegas, the casino.
Just keep going. You know, flashing lights, distractions.
That's it.
And you're not. And the next thing you know, you're out $50, $100, you know, whatever the case may be. $22,000 if you're Clark Griswold.
That seems close enough to 420.
Way over. So today we are enjoying some cosmic brownie.
Oh, yeah.
From the folks over at Rhythm. Once again, provided to us by the excellent people over at their Rise Dispensary. It's a nice little hybrid. It's got I don't want to say a chocolatey taste to it, but definitely there's an underlying very tasty thing there. So that's the Cosmic Brownie. What are you hitting on today, my friend?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. You bring up something of the Cosmic Brownie. What I'm smoking on today is from the Flower Bowl, 315 Inkster Road, Inkster, Michigan. And what we're smoking on today is Rainbow Chip. And Rainbow Chip is a cross between mint chocolate chip and as the male, and it's combined but the sweeter influences of the female sunset sherbet. So it's a hybrid.
I do like that mint chocolate chip. I have had that before. That's some good stuff. Again, as we move forward with legalization and more open understanding of the benefits financially, health wise, marijuana is becoming more and more acceptable in public. Oh, I mean, not, you know, but by the public rather is what I should say. I saw another perfect example the other day, and I watch, when I'm not working, which is not frequently, but I watch a lot of YouTube, like body cam videos from the cops and stuff. And it amazes me how stupid people are when they've had alcohol. And I've never seen potheads act like that in my life. And it's like, wait, so which one is the real problem here?
The one that they put in tax before was the problem.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back and talk about a couple of very interesting musical acts who are out there doing some really cool and original stuff. So hang tight. We'll be right back. Yes, The Daughters of Oshun by Teresa Gaynord, published by THC Papers. Teresa is a great writer. She is a perfect example, however, as I was saying before, I don't need to politically agree with everybody I work with. Her and I have some very different points of view on some issues, but that doesn't matter because I'm not here to go voting or anything with her. I'm here to publish her work, and her work is good. And as long as that work is good, I'm going to publish it. So
not only that, does it really change your life? You know what I mean? If their opinion doesn't agree, It doesn't change your life at all. If they don't agree with your bills, don't change at all. Your groceries, it doesn't change at all.
Oh yeah, the people whose opinions I'm interested in are the people who are buying our products. You know, if you're buying books from us, then, you know, great. But if you're not buying books from us and you're just talking shit, come on, give me a fucking break. Yeah, and that's the problem. Nah. Is there? We live in a society right now where everything is based off of reviews. You know, and back in the day, if you read a review about a restaurant in the newspaper or in a magazine, you were reading a review by someone who's actually familiar with what they're doing. Right. You know, nowadays everybody's got, oh, I can write a review on Yelp. No, you can't, because you don't know how to fucking write a review. You know, you can't be removed from what it is that you're reviewing, especially if you had a negative experience. You want to talk bad about staff. If you were, you know, mishandled or anything like that, that's fine. But they group all this shit together and like, oh, this restaurant. And it's like, well, what about the guys who made your food? How was your food? Was your food good? You know, like, yeah. I understand sometimes you get a bad waiter or something, or sometimes, you know, the wait staff is having a bad day. Fucking it happens, man. That's a hard ass job, too.
Not to be too critical, but a lot of times people are getting their world views from people that have never left their state. So
yeah.
Once you understand that, then it makes it a little bit easier to form your own opinion, come to your own conclusion. And everything else beyond that's hearsay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, like I said, we're just here to have a good time. We're here to publish some great books. We're here to make some movies. We're here to, you know, I'm trying to bring creativity and positivity into the world. And I'm doing that by teaming up with you and teaming up with, you know, people like Teresa and, you know, just a variety of voices is what I want, because that's how I think as a society we thrive, is everybody has an opinion. And we've gotten to a point now where, you know, I saw somebody wrote the other day, there was a question about book reviews, and somebody wrote, oh, well, if the reviews are good, I like them. But if they're not good, I don't want to know about it. And I'm like, okay, the reviews that are not good are the ones that are saying, hey, maybe you should try this, or hey, before you put out a book, maybe hire a fucking editor. Or, you know, it's like, you can't ignore the negative, because the negative is what teaches you how to improve on the positive.
Yeah, I'll give you an example that ties along with that. I've had younger wrestlers before that'll ask me to critique their match or watch their match. And I tell them everything that I see that is wrong, because that's what they need to hear. I'm not here to blow you. I'm not here to tell you how fucking great you are. You ask me what I seen and how you could improve. Right. And that's what I was looking for. And that's what I look towards when I'm watching a match, whether it's the way you walk through the curtain, the way you breathe, the way you look at the crowd. And you might think how much just those things matter, but those are sometimes the most important. And,
yeah.
But you'd rather hear how great you are.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, we know that you know how to do that, you know, and you're good at that. But what about this, and this? And that's something that we're going to get into later with the match we've got for this week, because it's a masterclass. But first, tell me a little bit about Death in Motion.
Man, Death in Motion. Man, let me tell you about these guys. First off, we can talk about Wes, and he's a lead singer of the band. He's known as Beast, and he was also a pro wrestler. And the reason I bring him up first is recently with, what was it, SummerSlam that was out in Vegas? Or wait a second, no.
WrestleMania. Okay. WrestleMania was the last one.
Okay, so out in Vegas, Wes is from Vegas, and so is Death in Motion. But I had students that were out there that were just going from show to show, trying to pick up experience, pick up shows and whatnot. And because Wes was out there, I let him know that these guys were going to be in town, right?
Right.
And without a hesitation, he opened his door to these guys who he'd never met before, on my word. And so back to the subject, Death in Motion, they got together in 2006. And they were fronted again by Wes. And they're out in Las Vegas. They have three albums out. And they released them over a span of two decades. And they were formerly on the Itchy Metal label. That's a crazy name, right?
All right.
But crazy enough, these guys haven't been on the road since the pandemic. And me giving these guys a shout out and how great they are is I'm trying to encourage them to get back out on the road, man. Get back out humping it, because I'm showing with this video an example, and their menu will be in our, or excuse me, their Spotify will be in our comments. But yep, this is such a talented band on so many different levels. And I think we've got the video queued up right now. This is Death in Motion.
Let's do it.
Welcome, my son.
Thank you, Father. What's this for?
Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. We light candles for our loved ones so that they may find their way back to Earth. The people will celebrate. We will dance and sing. And some will wear masks.
Why?
Some spirits linger here too long. They become confused. They mistake themselves for the living. They must be frightened away.
Lessons left to learn through the
Right on.
All right, man. All right. Digging the Cage aesthetic, a little very Nine Inch Nails Wish video on that one. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good.
Yeah, so, man.
Yeah, man.
I met those guys out at the gathering a few years ago, and recently announced your boys are going to be at the gathering.
Our boys are going to be at the gathering this year. They're playing at 1:50 in the fucking morning. Announced officially that they will be at, this is their third gathering. Those cats deserve it, man. They really do. We're gonna have them on soon, and we're gonna talk about what they've been up to, because man, they're just so good, and they're just like some of the coolest cats you'd ever want to meet. So
you gonna join the Gypsies this year?
Maybe it's a money thing at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
Never
rule out anything, you know. My pick for the music end of things today is someone who I myself was recently introduced to by my radio show co-host, Anna. Skinned is a two-person industrial metal band.
All right.
And most of their music, the lead singer's name is Skinned, S-K-Y-N-D, and the multi-instrumentalist whose name is Father. So a little weird. They're from Australia.
Modern and arrangements.
And they have a fascination with true crime, and they work that into their all of their music.
That's right down your alley, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So this is their newest video for the new song that just came out this year. This is Skinned with Eileen Warnos.
Is life a worth utopia when love is on the door? When dungeons feed a circle that'll whip you on the floor? Though we could carry meaning, though we could share a core, the toxins don't sweat easy when they're blocking every pore.
If you have no other answer, if your night provides no morning, if you can't be a good example, John, oh John, now look at what you've done. Oh John, oh John. John, oh John, oh John, now look what I've become. Oh John.
John, oh John, now look at what you've done. Oh
pretty heavy. Pretty heavy.
All right. So yeah, man, that is Skinned. They've done some really cool stuff, and we're hoping to see a lot more of them in the near future. They've been at it since 2018.
Huh? Okay, you're answering a question that I was asking.
They've been around since 2018, and they're just starting to break through into the bigger picture. So I'm very hopeful that they'll have continued luck, because they really musically very talented. We're going to take a quick commercial break, run a couple ads, pay a couple bills, and then we'll be back, and we're going to get into this week's match. So hang tight, folks.
Hi, I'm Cliffy, and I'm here today to tell you about an amazing new product that I got that you want, that you need in your life. It's called Ninja Vanish. If you're like me, you get yourself in a lot of sticky situations. How you gonna get out of them? Who's got time? Who wants to deal with that? You need Ninja Vanish. Here's how it works. You're in the situation, you gotta get out of the situation, bam!
Hey, where'd I go? You don't know. And more importantly, no one else knows.
You piss your pants in your friend's couch? Ninja Vanish! You fart in an elevator? You gotta get out of there! Ninja Vanish. You walk into a gay bar? Ninja Vanish! Unless you're gay. You get in a fight with a hooker? She bites your tongue off? Ninja Vanish. You reference old things that aren't even funny no more? Ninja Vanish. You pull out too late. 9 months later, you got a problem on your hands.
Baby, I have something really important to tell you. I'm pregnant.
God damn it!
Ninja Vanish! Your mom catches you jacking off.
What are you doing?
I'm using the bathroom!
Well, I'm coming in there.
No?
Ninja Vanish. You wake up next to a big girl in the morning that you don't know how you got there?
You was a minotaur last night.
She's got a dick. Ninja Vanish. Hey, and for the ladies, you can use it as well. It ain't just for us guys. You fart while your boyfriend's going down on you. Ninja Vanish. All right, now I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. Because we can't do this all day. I'm gonna give you a month's supply of Ninja Vanish. For $29.95. It's made in Thailand, so you know it's good. You also get this. The Blowfuff. A phone with a breathalyzer. You'll never drunk dial again. $40 value, absolutely free in the next 15 minutes. Hey, you've tried the other guys? Now dip out with the best. Ninja Vanish.
Oh, that's right, folks. It's true. It's true. It's true. The Warlord of Weird has joined the THC ringside roster, my friends. So keep your eyes open, because Sid and I have got some really cool stuff in the works for you. So let us get down to it, my friend. Today's match.
Real quick before we do that, man. We've had a couple really awesome things happen in the last few episodes. And do you have a couple things handy real quick, man? And let's give it a plug.
All right.
Gene, he has looked out for us, Gene Jackson, and we're on his network as well. He's got a book you had helped with.
Yep. Him and Doug Gilbert.
I have such a love for Doug Gilbert. It'll tie into this next match that we're going to look at. But you got a book for sale, the Eddie Gilbert story.
You got a book. The Eddie Gilbert, man. Eddie was so far ahead of his time. And I think that if he could have kept his demons at bay, he really could have been someone that revolutionized the entire industry. I mean, could you imagine him in the Attitude Era? I mean, Jesus. Right. So, yes, this was written by Doug Gilbert, Eddie's brother, and by Mr. Gene Jackson, who is currently working on another book for me.
Yeah, and Gene as well. We put together a comedy troupe. They're called the Internet Comedy Crew, and we're going to be putting together some dates here real soon. Izzy High, Gene Jackson, and a few others I can't wait to share with everybody. And yeah, the Main Event Comedy Crew is coming. And also keep your eye out for Universal Underground. And that's a group of talented artists that we plan to put out on the road as well to really put together some great shows for the country.
Nice.
Now, you also had another book with a former guest, right?
I do indeed. This one here, my friends.
And to promote this a little bit, man, the first time that I had ever interviewed anybody, it was with this guy, Gary Wolf. And what a pleasure, man. Such an awesome guest. And his book, the name of the book?
The Pitbull Unleashed. By Gary Wolf and Kevin C. Davison. Kevin's a tremendous writer, a superhuman being. And when I reached out to him, he was referred to me by another author that I work with, having experience in writing nonfiction and also being a huge wrestling fan. So I reached out to Kevin and we talked for a few minutes. And the next thing I know, he's sending me pages. and they're amazing. And, right. You know, Gary and I did hours and hours and hours of interviews, to get all the stories in and everything. And, when the book was done, I sent him the final draft from Keith, and, Gary called me and he was like, "Brother, I love this book." And right. I was like, "Thanks, man." He's like, "It is not what I expected it to be." He's like, "But it is so much better." And I was like, "Well, you know, because here's the thing, guys, with a lot of these books, and it's funny to me because, like, we all know the Pitbull,
right?
We know who Gary Wolf is in the ring, but you know, we know who Eddie was in the ring. We know, you know, but for me, it's humanizing you guys and being like, yeah, sure, this is the crazy shit they did, and you know, all of that. But at the same time, this is where they come from. This is how they were, you know, raised. This is, you know, what they're.
How did we get to this point?
Exactly. And for me, and my wife actually coined the phrase a while back. She said that the reason why people want to read your stories is because wrestling is a part of their story.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, man, that's pretty deep. And my wife doesn't care at all for wrestling, but that was good. So that's kind of the motto that I live around here. You know, I want the fans to walk away from, you know, after reading these books with a better understanding of not only just the business, but of what you guys went through day in, day out, you know, hundreds of nights, you know, a year, just the wear and tear and the grind and the decisions and all of that stuff. So that's why we do here, because for me, it's important. You know, so many of your compatriots left early.
Right. I give a couple examples to let people understand a little bit of the difference. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I interrupted. But one of the examples that I give and the differences in the life is most people that you meet in everyday life can count on one hand how many times they've hit the ground hard in their life. Now, I can't do that for one night when I was active, three to five nights a week. Okay. And back in the day, to be considered a pro, you needed to work at least 3 to 5 nights a week for 7 years just to be considered a pro wrestler. A bit different business now.
Well, it's It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was talking to one of the boys yesterday.
Yeah.
And Glenn and I were talking about how it goes against the mind's natural survival instinct to, like, fall backwards on your back, fall flat on your back, fall flat on, over and over and over again. You know, it's like, and then later on yesterday, I was talking to another guy who's a stuntman. And we had a similar conversation where it's like, you know, the human mind doesn't look at a flight of steps and go, okay, now I'm going to throw myself down those steps, you know, but for stuntmen and for wrestlers and for, you know, that's a decision that you guys make every day over and over and over again. And so
many times it got lost between real and fake.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I mean by that is it is the only art form where you do this in one take in front of a live crowd and you do your own stunts.
Yep.
And that's what so many times gets lost in this real and fake conversation. It's a presentation.
Sure.
And I'll tie into real quick how state athletic commissions even exist with wrestling. I do not get it. I do not understand it, because it's not an athletic competition. Okay. Right. It's a presentation. And the State Athletic Commission has just as much business going and stopping Shakespeare and a theatrical presentation as they do being at a pro wrestling event. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reality of it is boxing is on its ass.
Right? Yeah.
And these athletic commissions used to make money on boxing.
Oh, yeah. And
with boxing.
A lot of money.
And with boxing being on its ass, there's only one other place to shake it down besides MMA.
Right.
And it's tough to get licensed to run MMA. So the next shakedown is professional wrestling.
Yeah. And which is crazy because, you know, like, I understand, like, I understand that, yes, there are definitely things that you should know. One of the boys was working with hepatitis. Was that Cowboy Bob Orton? I think it was Cowboy Bob Orton. And didn't tell anybody. And, you know, stuff like that, that's a fucking problem. You know, that's information that everybody who is involved in that match, because if the dude does bleed, you're not just looking at regular, you know, crimson mask. This blood is infectious.
Right.
So, you know, it's a dangerous thing. And I guess they've gotten better at it over the years.
But if we're going to that extent, that can be regulated from within.
Right. Exactly.
That if you're going to do this, you show up with a doctor's fucking blood test.
Yeah.
And this is my recent heart, you know, and this is my stress test. And it can all be regulated from within. You do not need oversight from the state. That's the same thing about weddings and marriage. And, you know, you're going to invite the state into your relationship. Okay. These are the same people that, anyways.
So,
I ran for a second there, but
that's all right. That's all right.
Back to point. Pro wrestling being a presentation.
Yes.
I think. Have you got the match?
I do have the match. I think that for me, I came to understand kayfabe and. Yeah, I mean, I grew up on the East Coast, so when Sheiky and Duggan got arrested, it was local news for me, you know, and that kind of was like, wait a minute, something ain't right here, and so that kind of opened it up.
Still there?
Yep, I'm here. Yeah, you froze up. There we go.
Okay. All right.
So Sheiky and Duggan getting busted on the Jersey Turnpike kind of woke me up to, hey, maybe it's not all, you know. And then, but to shut down the argument, the fake, you know, the real fake argument, nobody taught Mick Foley how to get thrown off the top of that cage.
Yeah, you can't fake gravity.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody told him, you know, nobody showed, nobody, there's a way to practice that. You know, he went up there and he dedicated to the craft and he took the shot and he became famous. I mean, he was already famous, but he became legendary after that.
When I broke my neck the first time, the nurse said to me, "Well, isn't that all fake?" And I'm looking around. I said, "Do you see any cameras?"
Yeah. Like, I have a broken fucking neck. Do you see that? Tell me how it's fake. My broken neck.
Do you think I'm carrying on the show here? Do you see anybody else around here?
Right. Yeah.
I was unconscious when I was brought in. So the show must go on. No.
Yeah. No, not in that particular instance. I mean, for God's sake, the dude lost his ear in Germany because nobody understood what he was trying to tell them. Right. So, right. You know, Mick is something else. All right. Today's match.
I was going to say I had met Mick in Smoky Mountain.
Right on. A lot of good wrestling came out of Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to be around when they expanded into Northern Kentucky because my trainer was involved and helped with that expansion.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, Corny, for good or for bad, Cornette knows the fucking business. And, yeah. You know,
I agree with him more than I disagree with him.
Yeah. He is very opinionated. But, you know, we love Jim. Jim's great. Right. All right. So this match today, first off, you've got two just fucking legends. I mean, Dory Funk Jr. and Bruiser Brody.
Right.
And, you know, Bruiser, his reputation, I think, preceded him. In a lot of places, like when he was like, Bruiser Brody's coming to town. He was like, I would say like, he was like Andre, like he was an attraction.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And, you know, people came out because, you know, you heard, I mean, and especially in that day and age where the after mags are really, you know, prevalent and you're seeing, like I had seen Bruiser Brody, you know, 6 or 8 times before I ever saw him actually wrestle, you know, because I'd seen him in the magazines.
Right.
And it was like, holy shit, you know, this fucking guy, look at the size of this crazy looking bastard. And of course, Dory Funk, I mean,
let me go back to the story you were talking about, the size of him and whatnot. And it's kind of funny and it'll also tie into this match. As he was breaking in, he was in a match with Danny Hodge, and nobody knows about Danny Hodge. Danny Hodge was the baddest amateur wrestler around, all right? He had double tendon strength in his hands as well. He could break wrenches and crush apples and whatnot with his hands, but he weighed about 180 pounds, all right? So before the match, Bruiser's getting off, you know, getting the blood pumping and whatnot. And he gets in the ring and he gets tied up by Danny Hodge.
Right.
And the promoter says, "Show him your muscles." So that ties in a little bit with what we're talking about today's match. Not to show him the muscles, but the classic wrestler versus the classic brawler. And that's what we're going to look at today.
And it's funny when a member of the Funk family is considered to be the classic wrestler.
NWA World Champion for 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell of a town. The whole damn family is gifted.
Yeah, his father passed away directly as a result of just shoot wrestling with guys on his farm. Okay, he had the boys out there hanging out, drinking, and they just decided to start shooting. That's what those guys did. Shooting meaning legit wrestling matches for anybody that doesn't understand. So these guys were shooting, in the barn with each other, and his father walked away, and before they could get him to the hospital, he ended up passing away. They lived in Canyon, Texas.
All right. So let's take a look here. This is Dory Funk Jr. and Bruiser Brody.
Again, a bigger reason why I picked this match is the psychology involved with this.
Right.
Here we see the classic wrestler coming in. And one thing you'll notice with the fans is they'll reach out and touch a lot of times. And what that does is, a lot of times in Japanese culture, if somebody touches something they're afraid of, it brings them luck.
Yeah.
So you watch, as well as blonde-haired people, if they touch people with blonde hair, because it's so unusual in the culture, if I remember correctly. But yeah, classic wrestler entering the ring. And at that time, he was the NWA International Champion. Now watch the difference, though. Bruiser Brody comes to the ring in the crowd, and you'll understand a bit more as I talk about the psychology.
Right.
And one thing that I want people to really, really pay attention to in this match is neither one of these guys impede on the other's gimmick. Bruiser Brody does not out-wrestle Dory Funk this match.
Oh, yeah.
Dory Funk does not out-brawl Bruiser Brody in this match. So, here comes Brody to the ring. Now, you remember all the hands that were sticking out? Don't see that so much right now. Why? Because they believe there's one person. He was confronting his fears. You've seen that?
Yep.
You do not see that. Why? Because of the believability, the credibility. Right?
Now, what's the story with the streamers?
The streamers, it's a celebration. They're celebrating the competitors.
Okay. Because I would see that in Ring of Honor when they would work.
They were imitating what they had seen in Japan.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. You know, give them credit.
Yeah, sure. No, that's cool, man. That's
look at I believe
crazy
it's
looking bastard, man.
I think it's Jane Bleers doing the announcing as well. But yeah, Bruiser Brody, man, the king of the independents, really and truly. Watch him go. Now he's getting out wrestled for a second, right?
Sure.
So what's he going to have to do to take control?
Oh,
he's getting out wrestled. No. Now he takes it to his level, right?
Yep, now we're out in the crowd, we're brawling.
Right?
Pushing people out of the way.
And this, psychology-wise, is the only way that Bruiser Brody can win. Because he can't out-wrestle Dory Funk. And he's showing everybody that right from the start. I can't out-wrestle this guy, but he can't out-brawl me.
Now, Funk was collegiate champion, too, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. West Texas State, same place that Terry went, Dusty Rhodes. A lot of guys came out of that West Texas program. So, again, we see Bruiser Brody on top, and it's a brawl.
Yeah.
And also with this match, the difference between this match and what we see in today's product is it's not 50-50.
No, absolutely not.
No, it wouldn't make sense if it was. One of the small wrestling things that Brody's done in this match, an actual drop kick, right?
So what's that, about 25 reporters or photographers around the ring? Because I know the Japanese magazines were huge.
Yeah, of course. And how important is that? Just seeing that alone. Again, something missing from the product today.
Yeah.
Oh, we see blood now. How many foreign objects were used? How many foreign objects were used? And Dory Funk is bleeding right now.
Right.
No light bulbs, no crate, no. It's been a brawl. And what would happen in an actual brawl?
Yeah.
You get punched in the face.
You get busted open.
Yeah. And again.
Was again, that, you think that was hard way or?
The beautiful thing about this is you don't know, and that's why it's so awesome to be a fan of this. You know what I mean? Yeah. So again, why is Bruiser Brody on top in this match?
Yeah, out in the crowd, rolling away. Now this is seems to be really active for a Japanese crowd. I understand that traditionally they're much quieter.
That's Bruiser Brody. When he came out, they have to get on their feet and get out of the way. The psychology of just that alone. He has them standing before he ever gets started.
Right. Okay. All right.
So that takes them out of their element. Right? Now they're actually watching in fear to some degree of what could fucking happen to them if he swings that chain around and whatnot. So now he's real to the fans themselves.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to believe, correct?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And his entrance, the way, you know, his interaction on his way out to the ring builds up that tension isn't really the right word, but the apprehension, perhaps.
Like, How many high spots have you seen from Dory Funk so far in this match?
Not a lot.
Exactly. And why is that?
Because they're not needed.
And if it's a fight, it's a brawl. What kind of fucking high spots would you do?
Yeah, this guy's standing here just punching you in the face. Wait, you got to run up to the top rope and jump off? Why? So we can punch you in the face on your way down? I mean,
he's just trying to survive right now because he's a wrestler and he's being beaten up by a brawler. He's looking for that opening as the wrestler.
Right.
And that's what you're looking for as the fan. When is he going to be able to find that opening? That's the psychology that I talk about that's so forgotten.
Sure.
See? He didn't wait for the 2.5 either, to kick out. Oh, was that a closed fist?
I think it was an elbow. Yeah.
Forearm. It's an elbow. European uppercut. What is he coming back with? He's using wrestling.
Right, right.
It doesn't take away from the brawler, Bruiser Brody, because he's being out wrestled at this moment.
Right.
So again, snapmare.
Okay.
And a drop kick. What is he doing on the floor?
Right. Now if this was today's match, he would have run, he would have jumped off of the fucking barricade.
Right.
And, you know, pulled off some kind of fucking, you know, standing IAC moonsault or something on the floor from the barricade.
And I'm as guilty as anybody else is in doing that. But again, I'll point out the difference. Do you see everybody in that crowd? What is everybody in that crowd doing right now? Standing.
Yep.
Okay, and what has Dory Funk done with his comeback, this whole comeback?
Just wrestling, straight up wrestling. And he straight just went for the spinning toe.
And everybody in that building knows that if Dory Funk is able to get that spinning toe hold on, that's it for Bruiser Brody. Oh, Bruiser Brody, back to the brawling tactics. Right?
Now, are they both busted open, or is that Dory's blood on Bruiser's face?
Oh, they're both busted open now. And again, how many weapons were used to get there?
Not a one.
Why? Because it's a brawl. And what will actually happen in a brawl? And through time in this match, these guys are getting wore down as well from the blood loss.
Right.
Oh, Brody going for his coup de grace, the big knee drop. Again, here we are. Whoa, what's Dory Funk going for? He's going for a suplex. And Brody knows if he gets suplexed. Up, snapmare. Now he's brawling with him after he snapmared him down. That's what a wrestler would do. Ground and pound, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
That's what UFC's based off of. That's what the wrestler would try to do, get to the ground and pound position.
Sure.
European uppercut again.
I like how Brody's throwing open hand chops.
Yeah. So, as we've said before, he's sticking to his strong point being wrestling, and Brody's sticking to being the brawl. And it's not taken away from either one of their gimmicks, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And it's working. It's the back and forth.
You hear the Japanese crowd, a crowd that is normally quiet and golf clapping. What are they doing?
Oh, they're cheering. They're into this. They want to see. Now, I know that they did a lot of. Obviously, they had like the death match tournaments and everything in Japan. Oh, no. The ref is down.
Right. What's going to happen? He finally got that suplex, the one thing he'd been waiting the whole match for, right?
Yep.
He finally got it. He's going for the pinfall, but by chance, by circumstance, referee knocked out of the way. Right?
Yeah.
Now everybody's concerned with the referee. Again, that's what would happen for real if the referee got knocked down. Right?
Yeah. Now, all of a sudden, the Orient Express's ring gear makes a lot more sense.
Whoa.
Oh, Brody shit.
Came in with the chain. I've had all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And now, the only way that Dory Funk can beat him in a brawl is with what?
Oh, shit. And there goes the ref again.
That was the only way that Dory can beat him in a brawl.
Oh, with that chain. Yeah,
He's got the chain around his hand. He needed that extra leverage to win a brawl. Right?
Yep.
And that's what I mean about the psychology of this match. Everybody talks about psychology, but they have no idea what they're talking about when they say it most of the time. Or they say the story of this match. And they have no idea what they're referring to when they use those terms. But this was a story. What would happen if the greatest brawler of that time met up against the greatest wrestler of that time? And what you just seen was the story and the presentation of that itself.
Yep. And it was... What the hell? Oh. It was a smooth transition back and forth every single time. There wasn't any. Oh, there's that chain again. It was. There wasn't. I didn't see any botches. I didn't see, any weapons until the end here with the chain. I mean, it was just.
And that's, again, go ahead and we'll stop this now. Again, that's what's missing at times. And I can't really say too much about today's product because I don't watch it. It doesn't interest me in the least. I got better things I can do with my time. But what I'm pointing out and trying to is, if you're a student, this is what you should be looking at. How did these guys get these people to where they were at from start to finish? How they didn't take away from each other's gimmick.
Okay? Right.
Because everybody does the same thing anymore. And they look the same to me from what I've seen. But again, the storyline itself, the greatest brawler of its time versus the greatest wrestler of the time. Yep.
And if
what would happen?
And today they'd have no idea how to book that.
It booked itself.
Yep. That's
things that are so lost. I'll give you one more example of the thing that's lost is, and that's become passe, is the Battle Royal. And the Battle Royal can be presented as the most dangerous fucking thing in the world if done right.
Yeah.
Because you've got 20 men in the ring. And these 20 men are blind from how many different angles?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the only way to be eliminated from this match is to be tossed over the top rope, possibly 15 feet in the air to the cement floor.
Right.
To the possible being handicapped, crippled, or possibly dead if they land on their head.
Yeah.
Who could survive this kind of match?
Yeah. I was just watching an old school battle royal yesterday. It was like 85.
But today it's, hey, we got us a battle royal.
Yeah.
All right.
It's crazy. Yeah, the battle royal used to be, that was a big thing. I mean, it was like, and unless Andre was in it, it was always, who's going to win? I mean, if Andre was in it, Andre was going to win the battle royal. But,
I'm sorry.
Because how do you get Andre out of there? Well, I guess with a snake or, that seemed to work for Jake, I guess.
That's where we go back to, we started with the headlock, okay?
Right.
And the headlock, again, being the only thing that everybody can understand. And the rest is left to presentation and interpretation, okay, to how dangerous this is.
Yep.
And again, as I said, the Battle Royal itself has now been so lost because of the way it's presented, the way it's promoted.
Right. Yeah, it was, you know what it was? It was 80, it was 86. It was either the end of 86 or beginning of 87. It was a bunkhouse brawl, come as you are. And Lanny Poffo comes out in a suit of armor. And they're like, who was doing, was it Heenan? I don't remember who was on commentary, but whoever it was, they were just like, come on, that's cheating. That's, that's ridiculous. Like, he doesn't want, and they were like, what? He said, come as you are. They're like, oh, you're telling me that Lanny Poffo walks around in a suit of armor all day? I'm like,
along those lines with that flyer we showed from the Juggalo show, right?
Yeah.
There was a weapons battle royal. And as all the guys were standing in, this tag team came out and they pulled out guns and they started firing it, and everybody fucking this guy. And that's the come as they are, and they were armed.
So that's right. That's right.
The guns were taken off of them, the match didn't start. And that was
it's like, hey, bring a shovel, bring a, come on, let's have some fun here.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna wrap us up for this week, my friend. However, we will be back. This will air on Sunday at our normal time at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard. And then next Wednesday, there'll be a new episode of Resin. And we're going to have an author guest on to make a big announcement about a book that she is working on. We're going to talk about some interesting movies I've seen lately that they're horror-ish. Some of it's really good. That'll be next week. And we'll talk about, I'd love to go over a battle royal. Because like I said, I am a fan, always been a fan. So maybe next week we'll take a look at one of those old school, mid-80s WWF battle royals.
Speed through that one.
yeah. Pretty good though. Pretty good. I think we're in good shape, folks. And I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We want to thank you again for coming out. The response has been tremendous. We've got a lot of very positive feedbacks, a couple of questions, and I hope that we've done our best to answer those questions. And tune in every week, because we're going to be here talking about the three things that we love. We're talking about weed, we're talking about music, we're talking about wrestling. I am THC DOGG. With me, as always, is the delightful Izzy High, And folks, we'll see you next time right here on the WMW podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
To the ecstasy.